In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
So today, June 1st, 2025, is the 30th anniversary to the date of my ordination to the priesthood. It was June 1st, 1995, by Bishop Job of blessed memory at St. Mary's Cathedral in Minneapolis. Michelle was 7 months pregnant with Aaron. Ray was a toddler. Ben was several years yet to come. These are the vestments that I was ordained in. A person can pick up a few life lessons in 30 years, and being a priest will definitely shape how those life lessons get absorbed. So today I'd like to share just 3 revelations I've learned in my 30 years as a priest. First item I want to share is there is so much good in the world. Now obviously there's good in the life of the church, in its grace, its sacred mysteries. But here I'm talking specifically about the good out in the world, the good outside the church. Sometimes we religious folks can forget that truth. We hear the news. We see the insanity of social media. We encounter people grasping for meaning in all the wrong ways and all the wrong places. And we can become cynical or fearful of the outside world. And there's a temptation we can get to kind of circle the wagons and stay safe. The problem with that is we end up missing out on so much divine richness, literally so much of the grace of God. June 1st happens to be the feast day of Saint Justin the Martyr, who died in the year 150, so very, very early saint. Justin gifted the church with a theology called the seed of the word. The seed of the word. And it's an affirmation that the imprint of Jesus Christ is in everything. Justin taught that every culture, every religion, every art form, every person contains at least a nugget, sometimes just a nugget, of God's divinity. And those seeds of divinity are worth cherishing even out in the world. For example, a culture that worships nature has the seed of God in it. They may not know the Creator yet, but God is still writing their story. And the presence of God in nature sparks the awareness that there's something bigger than me. And so that culture, that religion, even if it's currently off the mark, has goodness within it. Every art form at its core is either a search for meaning or an expression of beauty, of mystery, of life itself. Every human being has both the desire to be loved and the capacity to love, which is by definition the image of God, to be loved and to love. And finding the good out in the world leads to a rich and divine life that I would not trade for anything. Any good anywhere is the divine imprint of God. By definition, if it's good, it's of God. And it's something to be approached with hungry mind and open eyes. 30 years of the priesthood has confirmed for me that a heart opened to the good out there is a heart open to God. Second bite of wisdom I've learned in 30 years of priesting is that no matter how much good I find in the world, the world bites back. The world bites back. There is such a lot of pain on the earth. And some of the pain is just part of the course of nature. A lot of the pain is self-inflicted and or inflicted on each other. The divine seed I just mentioned can become so buried it can be hard to see. Art forms that have a noble foundation can become pathetic and shallow or aggressively cruel. Religions that began as a search for God can be used to manipulate and to shame and to deceive. And of course, not all those people out there with the capacity to love are going to send that love my direction. You know the old saying, hurt people hurt people. And sometimes the target is you. The priesthood is not only rose oil and incense. I've ministered through church scandals, health issues, whether my own or those in the people entrusted to me, a pandemic that killed millions and shut down churches, including this one, funerals for people far too young to be having funerals, and even occasionally getting bitten in the back by persons I'm trying to help. And lest I be accused of playing the victim card here, plenty of people have experienced moments when I've not been at my best either. There is such a lot of pain on the earth. Now, the fact that the world bites back is no revelation. You don't need to be a priest 30 years to figure that out. That's just life 101. The revelation is that God can redeem the pain, all of it. In Christ, all things can be transfigured for glory, even those things that hurt the most. They can be converted to power. They can be converted to meaning. They can be converted to wisdom. We're celebrating this week in the church our Lord's Ascension, wherein our Lord takes a human body, human flesh, human nature into the kingdom of heaven, into direct communion with the Holy Trinity. What we are made of is raised to heaven. That's what God thinks of our stuff. And this is crucial. This is crucial. Jesus rises from the dead and ascends into heaven, still bearing the marks of the crucifixion, still bearing the marks of his suffering. The human nature that Jesus takes into heaven is our wounded nature. It's our scarred nature. It's not something pristine. There's no foolish wand waving that pretends nothing was wrong. The Lord's Ascension proves that your pain matters, that your scars matter, and that they are redeemable. There's a big difference between erasing pain, which is fantasy, and redeeming pain. Redemption does not pretend. Redemption is power over it. It's power through it. When the world bites back, and it will, those bite marks can be transfigured by the grace of God into more abundant life. Third life lesson, there is always something to celebrate. Not a day goes by that doesn't provide at least 40 new and unique gifts to celebrate, gifts that have never been experienced until that moment. They might seem familiar, but they're going to be new. They're going to be new. In spite of the bites the world may give, there are gifts to celebrate every hour. The Apostle Paul suffered a lot of things. Multiple imprisonments. Severe hunger. He was shipwrecked three times. Three times. Who gets shipwrecked even twice, right? If I got shipwrecked once, I'm never getting on a boat again. Three times, what are the odds? What are the odds that the same person's gonna get shipwrecked three times? How does that even happen? On five different occasions, Paul was lashed 39 times across his bare back. And still, Paul found reasons to celebrate. In our reading from Acts this morning that Ellie read for us, who, by the way, is celebrating a birthday today. It says that Paul was behind schedule in visiting churches, and so he adjusted his itinerary because he was hurrying to Jerusalem to try to be there on time to celebrate Pentecost. In spite of all he suffered, Paul still found reasons to celebrate. And in fact, in this passage, Paul sets aside responsibilities. You know, he was supposed to visit his churches. He said, I'm going to hurry right past. In order to celebrate, he sets aside what he was supposed to do for what he wanted to do. Sometimes stopping to celebrate can actually be a greater work than my regular duties themselves. Sometimes. I don't do it all the time, but sometimes. You know, nothing blooms all year long, and so the time to celebrate it is today. Celebration is a form of gratitude the happiest form, the greatest form. Celebration is, I would say, the most divine form of gratitude. It's what we will experience in the kingdom of heaven, unending celebration. Because celebration exalts the gift giver, who in our case is our God of love. Celebration acknowledges to God that in spite of what I'm going through, this might be the best time of my life. 30 years is a long time by human standards, and just a blip on the screen by eternal standards. But if I may offer 3 bits of wisdom from those 30 years, it's these. First, find something to celebrate today, every day. Second, when the world bites back, God can and will redeem the pain if you're willing. And third, never let the fear of the world stop you from pursuing the good in it. For a heart open to the good out there is a heart open to God everywhere. Amen.